Welcome back to another episode of the Whitetail Bloodline Podcast. I'm your host, Gavin Sauters, and got old Dilly back. What's up, Dylan?
What's going on?
We're sitting next to the podcast studio. We're in the works of building, but hopefully by the end of the year, it'll be up and running.
Definitely by turkey season for sure. It should be good to go.
But today is the one-year reunion from when we started this podcast. Just found that out today, so that's pretty awesome. Who would have thought we'd be here right at about 50 episodes? We have more than 50 episodes, but we got like four or five turkey episodes that I didn't add to the same whitetail episode. So we actually got above 50, but on the whitetail side, this is episode 49, and it's going to be a pretty good one, man. Indiana openers and
definitely 2 days out.
2 days, so I'm
working
jacked up.
Hard all year for these next 3 months.
Yeah, Dylan's, you definitely put in the most work you ever put in on, like, a property.
Definitely, on a single property itself.
Yeah, you've done a lot
this year. It's one of those properties that after last year, it was like, we really got to dive deep and figure this property out and go about it a completely different way.
Yeah, because this is year two, year three.
Year three, this is year three, going into year three.
So, yeah, let's start from that, man. We're going to talk about the farm, talk about what we're expecting this season, what's changed throughout the years, what we've changed throughout the years, and let's just start from the beginning, man. You got the permission, but luckily I'm one of your best friends, so I'm sitting there with you hunting, but how'd you get permission on this property?
I actually married into this when my wife, her dad and grandparents both live out in the property, and it was her grandparents' property, so
yeah, she grew up living there her whole life.
Exactly,
right?
Grew up there, out there her whole life, and then we got permission for the property behind that too, so that,
and it really didn't get hunted hard. Like, her little brother hunted what, gun once or twice a year or something like that?
No, not even that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even think Camden maybe been out there one time, maybe with one of his buddies they went out.
Really?
There, I think. Yeah,
see, that's crazy,
so
man.
It's never really been truly hunted. You might have had some people come in there during gun season, like some friends and stuff, but nothing,
yeah,
nothing like what we're doing.
One thing is pretty wild about that property, and why social media is a good thing and a bad thing in certain circumstances. One guy reached out to me because he could just see from something we were posting, he recognized it, and he hunted it. But he was a real cool guy. I still talk to him, and he gave us some pointers, and which was pretty cool because that was our first year we were there that he was messaging us, and he was like, "Yeah, this is where I noticed bucks were bedding," and that's like what we were just starting to figure out a little bit. We noticed where the buck movement was and stuff, but so. You got married. When did you get married?
October 10th, 2020.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So this was, 2020. You got married on this property, actually.
On the property, and we were hunting it 2 weeks later.
Yep, so.
Into it for real, because my wife always makes jokes. She's like, "You only married me to hunt my property," and I'm like,
"Yeah, it's kind of true."
He said it's kind of true.
Not at all. It's a joke.
I wasn't even like, I was getting back into hunting. Gavin was getting me back into hunting.
I've been
right
trying for years.
Time.
For years to try to get this. I've known Dylan for, going on like 8 or 9 years or something like
we
that.
We had only hunted probably three, maybe four times in those 8 years. And I did it all the time growing up. Yeah. That's all my dad loved to do growing up. But got back into that and just so happened.
And
that
was your first year, wasn't it?
Getting back into it.
So that was pretty cool. You got married, what'd you say, October what?
10th, 2020.
October 10th. That was on like on that property more towards her grandparents' house and that field and stuff. So that was awesome. The best thing about it was, man, now we had permission. We knew. We were like, we didn't even step foot on it until that point, right?
And it's a good feeling having like permission for a property like that too. That was another different. That was a different thing for me also. We hunted a bunch of public growing up with my dad, and then little pieces of private here and there that he'd get permission for. But to be able to, walk out there and be like, we can take, we can fully freaking.
And it's like a family tie, so it's even better than like a door knocking,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
We can fully freaking do what we kind of want out there, for real.
Yep, so that was awesome, and we went into the season, we hunted a few days. We didn't set nothing up, we hanging bangers.
You set up one trail camera out there, I think that was the only one that set out there the rest of that year.
Yep,
you got a bunch of stuff off of it,
which
too.
Is honestly pretty fucking awesome, because we went out there, and this is when the rut's heating up pretty good.
Exactly.
Like, by the time
especially
we got there.
That year, dude. That,
nobody's hunted it.
Yeah.
Like we said, a couple other people, but nobody's actually like hunted it in many, many years. And I remember putting that camera up, had Cook's Fatal, sprayed that on some of them limbs. I think there might have been a rub. I don't remember.
Right there on the edge of that ridge back there, dude. Yeah. On that run right there, basically.
Put it right there. And we didn't know this until this year. We put the puzzle pieces together, which is going to be a big topic about this podcast, this buck. But drop time. We got a picture of drop time right there. It was one of the very first. Honestly, I want to say it was the first buck we got a picture of. I swear. He came in only a couple hours after I put that up. I'd have to look at the trail cam pictures. But you can see me spraying it on the limbs. He sat there and hit those and tore them up.
Dude, it was the perfect time to put that out there, though. Nobody's touched that property in probably 5 years. You go out there with that Cook's Fatal.
Yeah, they've never smelled nothing like
no
that.
No sense been in the woods for a while, either. We didn't go out there before that, but one time, maybe, when I shot that one.
That 8-point. But, dude, we got drop time. He was an 8-point then. He didn't have the drop at that point in 2020. And then we got that freak buck. We never saw him. I think that might have been the only picture we ever got of him. But he was hitting that Cook's Fatal.
He was an 11-pointer, dude.
Stud. He like was 160, 160,
easily
165.
160, dude.
Bro. Stud.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was awesome. So, yeah, let's go into that first hunt. So, that was we hunted end of October. I think I missed a doe. Like, it was my first year using that one pin and was worried about filming. It would have been a great video.
Yeah.
But she worked into 30 yards, I think. And I feel like she kind of knew something was up. And I left my pin at 40, I think, because I shot over her, didn't I? Yeah, I always shoot over, always.
I swear I got that doe on camera.
Really?
It's an old doe, dude. She's smart. She's an old nanny doe. She's gray, dude. I swear it's that doe.
But, yeah, I missed her. And then I didn't hunt much after that. And then you went in there on, like, a, what was it, Friday?
November 3rd, it was the election. It was election day, so I was off that day, and I told everybody was like, you got to go vote. I wanted to go vote and stuff, but I wanted to go hunt.
Yeah.
I said, listen, if I go out there and I kill a buck this morning, I said, I'll go and vote afterwards. So, went in there. It was kind of chilly out that morning, and I couldn't, dude, it was. I didn't even realize it till I got in there. I made a bunch of noise going in, was running
climber.
Late. But, yeah, was messing with the climber. And
you got in there like first light, right? You got in a little late.
Finally got up in my stand, and it was you could see everything around you, and was making a bunch of noise getting up in my stand, and I couldn't find the tree at first either. But the whole time, because my dad had always said this, dude, you know, when you're walking back, once you get to a certain point, if you're gonna put out, you know, some buck urine or doe urine or something like that, once you get, you know, within like 20, 30 yards of your tree, start putting it out around that area and stuff.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm walking looking for my tree, making a circle around it, and I'm spraying that stuff out, dude.
Yeah.
Literally pass up my tree, and then I come back. So I finally get up there, and probably wasn't 45 minutes later.
It was early, because I was...
Surprised the hell out of me, dude. He came in, nose to the ground, freaking... snot, you know, just nose running, nose to the ground, rutting hard, dude. Following that trail, he literally followed that trail where I was spraying that stuff, walked into a clear path, and it happened quick, dude.
Using your dad's old bow,
picking that bow up now compared to like having my Matthews now, and how heavy that bow is.
Aluminum arrows, right?
Yeah. I picked it up in there earlier. I was messing around with it. I was like, I can't fucking believe this shit, dude.
Crazy, them aluminum arrows. I remember shooting them when I was a kid. Because
it's a 20-year-old bow, damn near. I mean, it's old, dude. Yeah. But, heck yeah.
So, yeah, you shot that buck using some old fixed blades. What do you go, 30 yards?
30 yards.
30 piled
probably
up.
Double lunged him, probably.
It piled up, and you called me, and I was legit just pulled up to work, and I'm an early riser, so I was like 15, 20 minutes early. So I was sitting up at the top, not by the shop, because... I wasn't parking right by. I was parking above it. And he calls me, and he's like, I just shot the fucking stud. I don't even think you climbed down when you called me, did you?
No, and the thing is that I did think it was a bigger buck than what...
He's a great buck.
Yeah, he's a good buck. But I thought it was one of the bigger ones, because when he came in, he was moving so quick that all you could see was behind him, dude. And when you look at that buck from behind in that picture that you got of him sitting in the van, he looks absolutely huge from behind, dude.
Yeah,
looks way bigger than what he does in the front. And I didn't have time. I mean, either way, I was going to shoot that buck.
When you called me, you
buck.
Were still in the stand, right?
Oh, yeah. I was still in the stand.
Yeah, you called me. You're like, dude, I just shot that buck. I was like, no fucking way. He's like, yeah, dude. I was like, I shot that before.
I was practicing in the rain. Because, dude, I ain't shot my bow. I ain't shot that bow probably in a year and a half, 2 years. So it had been sitting up for like a year and a half or 2 years before that. I just got off work, and I called my dad. I'm like, dude, I got to come shoot the bow real quick. It's pouring down rain. I'm back there slinging arrows real quick.
But, yeah, man, you call me. I'm sitting at work. I'm about to walk down to clock in. He tells me, yeah, I just shot this buck. So, me being me, I'm like, fuck going into work right now.
Yeah.
Call my boss. I'm like, hey, I got an emergency. I got to go, and I'll call you later. I'll come back to work later on in the day. So, I leave, go meet Dylan at the farm. We go get his buck, drag it back. We ended up getting some pics and stuff. Dope-ass pics. Those pics are awesome pictures of you with that buck. First buck with a bow, too.
Yeah, definitely.
So that
good,
was...
Good moment, too. Definitely.
Yeah, so we took it to the processor, took care of that, and I was like, all right, I guess I should go back to work. And then we went back to work, and that was basically the end of that year. I maybe hunted two or three more times.
We went out that one morning and rattled in that little...
Oh, yeah. Was that the first
little
year?
Six-pointer, yeah.
Yeah, put that decoy out.
Rattled in my decoy out, and that was the cool... Dude, I wish we had the camcorder we have now. I wish we had then, dude, because it would have been some dope footage, man.
Yeah,
was
that was
cool.
Your first experience, like, having a deer coming into a decoy.
On a decoy like that. Came in on a string line, dude. Just walked right in on it, man.
We smoked him.
He was pissed off, too. He knew something was up, but his mind was just...
Yeah,
he was still so pissed about it, yeah.
Worked up that ridge, and he sat there for a while before he walked up on it.
Blowing the whole time,
dude. Yeah, he did blow. I forgot about that.
And that was the weirdest thing ever, dude. He walked all around that thing and just blew and blew. Gave us multiple shots. Yeah. And this deer, if we wanted to kill this deer,
two-year-old,
he would
have been dead. Six or eight point?
Six or eight point. Multiple just open shots we could have took on him, dude.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then... Did I shoot a buck that year?
2020? No, you did not.
Yep, I did not shoot a buck that year. And
you killed a doe that year, a big ass doe that year.
No, that was last year.
Out of your blind, I thought you did. Out of your parents' property.
I probably did. I can't even think, dude.
I thought you did.
Time flies, but yeah, so let's go back into last year. So that'd be 2021.
Last year was rough, and I went in with like a strong mindset on it, but like over hunted the property a ton, and just I'm glad I passed on like the bucks that I did last year. I would have shot him last day of the season though, you know.
Oh yeah,
over and over again I would have, but I'm glad I did, because Curly was one of them, and this year he's turned
way
into a great buck. Yeah, I'd shoot him in a heartbeat. If I seen him opening day this year, I wouldn't think twice about it,
because like in the summer last year we were feeding him in the end of the summer and everything. Yeah. We had, who do we have? We had drop time. That's when he gained his drop time, was last year.
And that's another thing about the property is that it hasn't really been, nobody's messed with it. So they've kind of just been, nobody's really, and we're not managing the property a ton.
No.
But I think with what we are doing to the property, we've gotten so many different bucks coming in compared to last year too. I mean.
Yeah, and last year, like right in the beginning of season, October, wasn't it? They cut all them trees down on the neighbor's property. So they cut those down. It made a bunch of like little roads going back there, made paths, and it was really open last year. So that kind of hurt us just because it was so open in that area.
But I think it helped us this year though.
Oh yeah, 100%,
the way they cut it, 100%. And obviously Jim didn't know that he was cutting it the way it was, but the way they did cut it going back there now, dude, it's thick. The way they did it, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect bedding area. So we've caught him bedding there on camera multiple different times.
Yeah, so last year we had drop time. He had a pretty good drop time. He's just he's not a big genetic buck. He's a normal 8-point. No. Like last year he was probably 130, 135, something like that. Maybe 140. It's hard to judge.
He's just an old brute, dude.
Yeah.
He really is. He doesn't have great genetics. That drop time is a bonus. Obviously, you don't get opportunities like
that
a lot.
His later, he gained that at what I believe at year four. It's year four or five for sure, I would say, you know.
I think I know he's at least 4.5 year old buck.
Oh, he's, sure. No, he's five and a half for sure.
Yeah.
5.5, maybe. I want to push him maybe towards more of the 6, but he's 5.5 for sure.
Just how, I don't know, he's just an old brute. He's got a huge
smart
body.
Smart buck.
He's not putting on much growth, but he's smart, and I'm sure he's lived there his whole entire life. The way the property's laid out and stuff, and like we were talking earlier before we started the podcast, the way he comes into the property, we've noticed that it seems like he's living behind one of the neighbor's house, and it seems like he's probably been back there his whole entire life. He's never. This is probably the first time he's ever really been hunted for real.
Yeah.
Last year and this year, he's definitely getting hunted for sure.
Like that one dude I talked to said he thinks he saw him like the year before, but I mean, who knows?
Yeah,
from 2 to 3 year old, that's a big difference.
It's hard
to judge. But yeah, man, he's just an awesome buck. He's old. He's by far the oldest deer I've ever been chasing.
Yeah,
I've been having cameras for over a decade, well over a decade, and I've never had a drop time buck. I've had one drop time buck, but it was a real slight drop time, an inch drop time. He's got a good drop time. Last year, he was a good buck.
He shook me every time last year, dude. That buck shook me every time. One of the mornings that I was off work and everything had taken off, didn't go out there that morning. He was right there hitting that mock scrape. That morning on the edge of the field, dude, right at light, perfect timing and everything. It's just...
Yeah, and let's go into this property a little bit. It's how many acres is it?
Okay, so her,
now that we have the new property.
Her grandparents is a total of 53 acres. The neighbor behind that is a total of 26 acres. And then we got permission to the right of that, too, and that's only 15 acres. So
yeah.
But still, all that adds up.
It's a great
15
acres.
Yeah, it's a great.
It gives us access to another ridge, which we probably will never hunt it. But exactly. If we wanted to, we could. You know what I mean? And it's an ag field right there on the top. Your grandparents or her grandparents' land is mainly all ag.
And where it sits
on
at,
on one side, it's got a lot of woods on the other side.
But. Where it sits at, it's basically on the edge of the hill before it drops down off into the other town.
Yeah.
So basically, their property sits back off, and then the ridges drop down into the main town. So those bucks, they got the cropland on top.
And big ridges. They're not little ridges.
Big ridges, thick, too, and they're bedding down in between these ridges, and they got crops on each side.
Yep.
And different crops each year.
Yep.
They're different crops.
Yeah, one on ours is different from the next closest one.
Closest to the road. So, they got corn on this side, soybeans on this side, and acorns all throughout. Acorns all throughout the property. But that's what I think they're hitting right now, especially the bucks. I think, they might be up in that front cornfield. I'm sure they are. A few of them are and stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, I guarantee, have switched to acorns now. And, especially I've noticed up in that front part. I got out of my truck the other day when I was setting that cam up, and I walked down about 15 yards in there, and I was looking up at the trees and stuff, dropping acorns everywhere.
Really?
Right there. And I was sitting there, I was like, dude.
Around that stand we have?
What is it?
Around the stand we have home?
Oh, there's some right there, too. But I'm saying up there towards the barn at the front.
Oh, yeah.
They're everywhere right there, and it's thick, and you can't see. You can see the next ridge over, but you can't see down below back there, and you can't see off to the right.
It's super thick right there.
Thick. It's like a wall right there.
Yep.
There's acorns dropping.
Briar patch or
something. There's acorns dropping everywhere right there. If they're not hitting these bean fields right now, and I got that camera set up right there on that backside, if they're going to hit the bean fields in the afternoon,
that's where they're going.
They're
going
to be on that backside. That's where they feel most coverage, and, they don't.
You can't see them.
You can't
right
see them back there, So.
Yeah.
I guarantee he's on them acorns right now, and he's going back and forth through that right there.
Yep, I believe so, dude. It's pretty crazy. Last year, we got after him, man. We had me and you, when was that? End of October when we had our first encounter with drop time, right?
Yeah. I guarantee if I would have cut my hunts in half and really timed it out and took the right days off work and really timed it out like we're going to this year.
Yeah.
And played the wind more. And another thing we're doing more on this property this year that we noticed actually from a podcast we did with one guy. And you think everybody would notice it, but I didn't even realize it. Entry-exit on this property.
Yeah. And it's honestly great.
Yeah. But it's extremely, you got to play it right on entry-exit. Because the way these ridges line up on the right side right there, if they're bedding down on top, higher up on them ridges, they're walking, they're watching
you. We have a headlamp.
Yeah. They're watching you walk in the mornings. In the afternoons, they might even be watching you in the afternoons walk across out there. You never know. So, it's early season, definitely entry exit's a big deal out there. And playing
and
the wind.
And it's a soybean
too.
Field.
Yeah.
So, mornings, I don't think we're going to hunt much. Mornings until the end
hard.
Of October.
Mornings are real hard. You want to hunt them during the rut out there because you got to walk through that field or around it somehow.
Yeah, I say probably the 20th and after is when we'll probably start hunting evenings, depending on if a cold front moves
hunt
in.
Hunt mornings, you mean?
Yeah, what did I say, evenings?
Yeah.
Yeah, hunt the mornings. I think that'll be our best odds just because we'll blow deer out of there. Just walking across that field because we have to walk across it. There's no option from where we're hunting, how this property lies. But you also had an encounter with Drop Time, like a closer encounter. You actually
closer
saw him.
Closer encounter. Like, he came.
We didn't see him. We heard him walking in, yeah. And then we went through trail cameras, and we figured out it was him for sure. But I like the way he was walking in and how he sounded, how like big he sounded walking in.
Oh,
I
and
knew
we had the
him.
Trail camera back there that showed him on that
yeah,
mock
he went and hit
strip.
That mock
yeah.
strip back there.
So we knew there was no other bucks back there besides him. So it was definitely him.
Yeah.
And that one afternoon, I was hunting, sitting up on that mock scrape on the ground. He crossed out right in front of me. Split second, super quick, stepped out right in front of me, went on.
He came from the pines, right?
He came right where we got our stand set up now. We yeah. got that camera set up right now. He came right up that hill, cut yeah. across. I thought, because it was kind of during the rut, so I thought, you know, he's going to come and hit this scrape. Mm-hmm. Wind was good that day.
Sitting right by a power line.
Yeah, sitting right there down the power line. It was pushing over down into those one people's property behind me.
Yeah.
So I was like, he's going to come up this power line because that's where he shot for. He's going to come up, circle around, come up that power line and hit this mock scrape, but I'm going to be 15 yards from him right here.
Yeah, on the ground.
He just kept trucking. I'm sure he went, you know, down towards the lake somewhere for real that day. Because you were up there hunting. No, you...
I wasn't hunting.
You weren't hunting that day?
I don't think so. No.
No, that was a different day. I thought you were up in the field hunting that edge right there.
Yeah.
No, that was a different day.
But yeah, man, we did that. Like, dude, we had so many, like, shooter bucks on camera, and we didn't have as many as we do this year. Like, we had Drop Time and Kicker. That was, like, our main two shooters last year. Like, those two bucks. Like, there was a couple others, I think.
Curly ran around the property all year.
Yeah,
I seen
Curly,
him during the rut
yeah, he
a
was
bunch,
just
too.
A probably a two-year-old last year, maybe a three-year-old, but I'm...
And honestly, on film last year, would have been a good... If we
yeah.
had
oh, yeah,
game.
We did,
if
see,
had, yeah,
we
if
did see Curly on October 1st.
And I seen him a few times also during the, you know, especially during gun season. I seen him twice during
I think
gun season.
Some of them bucks are gone, like Rocky. I don't know. We just got him last week on camera.
I think he might, if he does show up, it's going to be, you know, first week of November, last week of October. And he's probably, you know, I'm thinking down deep on them ridges somewhere we hunting.
Yeah.
Something like that. Rattle him in or
Rocky
something.
Rocky was there all summer long, and then he disappeared all season long. We didn't get one picture.
I think, man, I'm sure he comes through there during the rut.
Yeah, just real quick.
Just real quick. That's why I'm saying if we could, you know,
and
go in there.
And we didn't have cameras, as many cameras as we do this year.
Go in there during the middle of the rut one morning, you know, pick a good morning, go in there. And we've never really went deep down in those ridges either, messed around with these deer.
No,
you know,
never.
Rattled a lot. We've always sat on the edge of the field and rattled and set decoys up there. We've never really got down deep into the woods for real there.
Yeah.
It's tough, though, to hunt. If you shoot something down
big
there.
Big ridges, bro. Like, when people understand this, like, we went there in the snow shed hunting, and I slid down that fucking hill, and I couldn't get back up.
Yeah.
Because it was icy. Dude. Could not get back up. I had to go down on the road.
You shoot a deer down there, you better call some boys up. You better get some people out there. Get a winch and winch him up the hill.
Dude,
be a
if he
long
goes
winch.
Down that hill, like on the opposite of the lake, bro, we might drag him to the road.
Yeah.
Swear to God. Because that hill goes up easier on that side.
Oh, I'd winch him out, dude. I swear.
Especially
if you drop
something
time, out.
How big we think this, we know how big his body is.
Oh, I bet he's 200 pounds field dressed easy.
Oh,
easy.
Dude.
Easy field dressed easy.
Above.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
putting
him 250,
above.
250, maybe plus. He's probably the biggest body buck I've ever had on
trail
camera.
He's just a brute.
Well, like, it's hard to tell when you get a buck by himself how big his body is, but then he stands next to him 3-year-olds, and you're like, holy shit.
Can I say it?
Yeah, say it.
Can I say it? He's got that Saskatchewan build, dude.
He does.
He's got
Dylan. Dylan in Canada, man. We're going to have to. Once they drop the fucking ban.
There we go. I'm glad you said it. I'm going to say it right now. Fuck that shit. I'm glad that, you know, they need to drop the ban on it for real.
They do.
They got it. Some of these outfitters have to be losing a ton of money up there, dude.
Just the hunting community, you know what I'm saying? They're kind of like I am, kind of like you are. Like, I'm not going until they drop the ban. I'm not getting a fucking I can't take 7 or 14 days off.
No, it's a 14-day quarantine to go.
I can't do that.
You got to quarantine for 14 days,
and
then
you're
going to
go take a
hunt.
Fucking week off or two
and
weeks off to hunt.
Yeah.
Fucking, that's just stupid.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. We're not going to get too deep into it, but you heard my point.
Canadians, we know you're nice, but fucking retarded.
It's my dream hunt. I want to go up there. That's my, you know.
I might break my dream hunt next year. Kansas, bro. It's always been one of mine.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a definite. In the United States, Kansas for sure. Be Kansas or Iowa. I've always kind of talked shit about Kansas in the past, but that's just, you know, Canada or Kansas. I'm going to Canada, you know.
Yeah.
But when it comes to being in the United States and hunting.
You didn't know a whole lot about Kansas. You did, but you didn't. But now that we got John in the group. Dude, they just got giants, man. And John's like, he's fortunate. He's got a lot of land, so he can have us all come out there, and it's not going to even mess his season up for the most part, you know?
My dream hunt when it comes to whitetails in the United States would definitely be, you know, Kansas or Iowa. I think that's for everybody, for real. Those are draw states. I think that's for everybody.
Yep.
You don't want to hunt Kansas or Iowa. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to hunt?
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, man, that'll be awesome. But, yeah, so last year, the biggest downfall, I didn't hunt a whole lot last year because it was your property and I just always feel weird about it, so I didn't hunt a whole lot last year. Luckily, I tagged out second week of gun season on my family property as well. But let's just go into this. You've learned a lot from doing podcasts since the season was over, and you learned a lot from last season. Like, what were you doing wrong, do you think, Dylan? Like, since that was your second year really getting hard back into hunting, and when you're young, you hunt hard, but you're not smart
You hunt in a different way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When you're that young, you're hunting with your dad, too. You're hunting in a different type of way. But getting
so
back
what did
into
you learn from, like, the year previous and then that second year? And, what are you changing this year? And then we'll start talking about this year.
Pressure and entry-exit.
Yep.
100%. That's all there is to it right there. If you got a good property that you're seeing bucks on, like I said, I don't know everything. You know, I'm not saying I do. But if you got a good property you're seeing bucks on all summer long, good bucks, you got a good amount of does on the property too, and you're not seeing them during the rut and during fall time quite a bit, especially when you and barely one other person is hunting it, you're putting too much pressure on it. And I'll be the first one to say I made that mistake, and I don't, you know what I'm saying?
And it messed it up, but we were still getting shooters all year long in the rut. We just couldn't time it right.
Yeah, just couldn't time it right. And that, like I said, if you got a property where you're seeing good bucks all summer long and everything else, save that property for a perfect time. We're going to go out this weekend. It's opening weekend.
It's a good weekend.
We haven't had an opening weekend like this since I was probably...
Yeah, I don't remember.
In my teenage years for sure, dude.
Yeah, dude, like...
It's nice.
2017, that buck I shot, first archery buck, dude, it was hot as piss.
Yeah, it's been hot out, dude.
Yeah, it was
super
so hot.
And it actually feels like fall out, dude. I got a flannel on right now.
I got a hoodie
now,
on
and
right
I feel
now.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah, we're sitting in this garage, man. Yeah. I got a hoodie on, but yeah, dude, it's just a crazy opening weekend. Drop time showed up yesterday.
Dude, that fired me up. I loved that, dude. Yeah. I was like, because I wasn't really planning on hunting this weekend at all.
Yeah,
and
was our whole plan.
And I was still kind of iffy about it even yesterday when I seen him on there. But I'm like, you know what? It's opening weekend.
Wind's going to be
good. We can still go shoot some does at your parents' house or something like that. I'm like, you know, fuck it. Let's do it.
He's in there yesterday, man. He was hitting that scrape for over 6 minutes.
And now we got a plan down, too, about how to hunt this specific spot and everything.
Stands hung in good spots.
Exactly.
Good entry spot. We, cut a path to it.
We'll probably come in from her parents' house across the field and probably come straight through that field.
Yeah, walk right
through
the soybean
field. If the wind's playing
field.
The way it is, the wind should be in our face walking there the whole way. Should be perfect.
We'll see what the beans look like. If the beans are thick, we'll end up walking down. They're walking that edge in between the woods and the soybean field. But, dude, I think we just learned a lot from last year, man. We learned the property more. We got 2 years of history of what bucks are doing, too, which that is, like, one of the best things you can have. Like, we know where drop time was at. And at what part of the year we know when...
And the thing is also, and I know, you know, cameras aren't for everybody. And then on top of that, cell cameras aren't for everybody.
Ooh, I got a thing to talk to you about today.
But me putting those cell cams back there and getting more coverage of the woods, actually, rather than the outskirts of it. And, you know, it changes that too, especially with the cell cams, you know. You're not putting pressure back there all the time. You can, you know... You can pretty much map the whole property out if you set them up right.
Because we gained access this year to that, what was it, 20 acres? No, it's more than that. It's like 30 acres.
It's like 27, 30 acres.
30 acres. So we got access to that, which that helps us a lot. But we got these cell cameras because we don't have to go check them as much. Like earlier in the year, months ago? Didn't we start putting those there months ago?
Dude, yeah, we were getting them bedding down right in front.
Bro.
And that's what you want right there. You don't want to be going
I've
back
never
there.
Had that ever. Yeah. Not like... semi-consistent, like a few times.
Yeah, a few on different cameras too, in different areas. And like I said, that helps out a ton when you're trying to get to know a property. And even if you've hunted a property, you know, 2 to 3 years, you still don't know that property.
Yeah.
You still don't. You're learning a lot, but 5 years
of hunting it pretty hard and being smart.
If you don't have a lot of time, I was trying to tell a buddy this at work too. I was like, man, you don't have a lot of time. You're working a ton. So go get some cell cams.
Yep.
Set those things up out there.
Yep.
And that at least help you out a little bit, you know.
And their prices are dropping. They're not bad anymore.
When it comes to pressure and getting good intel on how these deer are moving, they're perfect. So that was another thing that we did this year on the property. We put out more cameras, but not just cameras, cell cameras, so we didn't have to put the pressure back there.
Well, you got four reveals out there right now?
Four reveals and then two Tascos.
And then throughout the year, I had some of my regular cameras out there.
We tried out that Wild Games cell cam out there, didn't we?
Yep. Right when I bought my Terra cell from Wild Games, I put that out there.
Perfect, dude. We caught a ton of them coming.
First buck that walked out was Pretty Boy.
Yep.
So, let's talk about that this year. Like, this year's crazy, man. The amount of shooter bucks that we had in the summer, like, obviously in the fall, they're gonna change. It's not going to be the same. Some of them are going to leave. Some might come back in the rut checking for does. But we have, like, 5 or 6 bucks I would shoot, I think.
Oh,
4 to 6. I'd have to sit here and think. But 4 for sure that I would shoot.
I'm trying to think. Curly, Rocky, Pretty Boy, Drop Time.
That funky buck, I think I'd shoot him.
And that one wide funky buck that, like, hooks off to the right. It's his right side.
His left side's huge. Not huge.
Oh, his left side's got, like,
a 5 point.
Five points on his left side. Yeah, perfect. And then on his right side, it's a 3-pointer, and it springs off, and one drops down in the back.
Does it?
Yeah. That's the one I was telling you. It drops. I don't think it's a drop time. It's kind of kicker. Might kick up. Either way, it's cool. It's a cool rack.
Dude, we'll have to look at pictures. What if that was kicker?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Because we didn't get pictures of kicker until the rut was coming in, right?
Yeah.
And then we started getting him a lot hitting scrapes.
Dude, he looks like the type of buck that, don't they say,
like a bully.
Don't they say that bucks like that, they grow weird on one side, like they got hurt or something, like their leg or something. That's the kind of what he looks. I mean, I don't know. Maybe not that.
He had a cool kicker, though. It wasn't like.
Yeah.
It just like came off his
That one side is perfect. Like, mm-hmm. It's a perfect, like, 5 points.
That's what I was
perfect.
Just thinking.
And then that other right side is like a 3-point with a kicker in the back. It's just weird looking.
Now that I'm thinking about that, I'm going to have to look at
the pictures. He's kind of wide in some of those pictures.
He looked pretty old, too.
I think, honestly, you have that deer walk up on me and we're filming early in the season, I probably
see. He's a funky buck. Like, that'd be an awesome mount.
Nice mount, meat in the freezer, good footage, win-win all around.
You had a rough year last year.
Exactly. So there's probably $5 I'd shoot.
Yeah. So I've never had that ever going into a season. No. So that's awesome, man. Like, Drop Time showed up, Rocky showed up last week.
And that's not even like, we're not even, you know, middle of October yet when you get a bunch of different bucks hitting. And I'm ready to see that this year. That's what I'm pumped for right there. Even if I tag out early, I'm still going to be like, oh, I still want to see what's coming in here late season.
Yeah. Like, one of our preseason things we did a lot, we hung stands, like hung some presets.
Good time, too. Man, I seen people last week freaking
that's
making noise in the woods, dude. Mowing stuff down, weed eating.
That's what I've been doing at Mom and Dad's all week, but yeah, it's different. It's a rep property.
Yeah, completely different, but... And it's not, you're not in the woods with, that's kind of like, feel,
them
it's secluded. Yeah,
shit.
It's secluded.
Like, that's another thing, though.
I've seen people deep in the woods, like, making some noise, and you do not, you know, nothing against whoever, but you do not want to be doing that.
No.
Right, a week before deer season. You don't, dude, I'd almost say a month. I went and changed trail camera batteries last week, made light noise back there.
Yeah.
Super light noise. It rained right afterwards. I knew that was coming in. It rained before, too. So... And I didn't even want to do that.
Yeah.
That was too much pressure for me. That, you know, that kind of weird. That's why when I seen Drop Time on there, I was like, okay.
And that was right after.
I went down there, changed that out, and messed with that scrape.
Because that one limb was hanging right in front of the camera.
Yeah. That's that vine. That was that vine scrape. He was sitting there licking on that vine. Yeah.
Yep. So that's one thing we went into this year. Like, we added scrapes last year, and the bucks tore them up.
And we didn't do it as early in
the
season.
What,
did
we add 2 scrapes last year? That was it.
Yeah,
right?
2 scrapes, one on the back
scrape
side
tree
of the...
and that scrape, just a normal, like, mock scrape with a limb
the
hanging.
The property back there, yeah.
So, dude, like, we focused hard on that. Like, we made sure we put in some great scrape. Dude, I wonder if they're hitting that one on that back ridge, that one that's on that shooting lane to the left.
I got the camera on that.
No, not that one.
The one that you made last year?
No, the one I made this year.
Oh,
where,
yeah.
Like, where that trail goes to. See? I bet, dude, that's a beautiful looking scrape. They well, gotta be hitting it. And that's a spot where if you're
that's
walking
what on, I was saying was, is, dude, I think drop time dipped off before that other camera.
Yeah.
Because I didn't catch him on that back camera, and I didn't catch him on the one that goes through, that faces towards the...
And we've seen him walking up, like, right next to that camera, yeah. So they're probably scooting it.
I think he dipped off right down to the right side, and I bet he went back, walked the other side of the ridge, and went towards Smedley's house. I guarantee it.
Because we get dropped on, like, that one day, he bedded in front of the one camera, walked, like, 800 yards, and bedded right in front of that camera.
I think this is his fall pattern, though, because Rick... My father-in-law last year seen him probably three or four times.
Like, what, end of October, wasn't it?
Yeah,
early November?
It was early October. I'd say the...
Was it?
Going into the second week. So probably like the 7th, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Right at that point, early in the morning, right when they cut the corn, basically. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Was seeing him up in the field up there.
With other bucks too, right?
With, like, Curly.
Yeah.
Curly up there. So, for a second, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, for a little bit, I'm like, what if they're behind her grandparents' house? What if they're coming up right there?
Yep.
Doing intel this year, cell cameras and figuring out. He's been basically coming up there towards the barn. Mm-hmm. He's been running those ridges.
He might be right there by the barn.
He's been running those ridges. That's what he does. He runs those ridges right there. He loops around, comes back around, goes up probably behind Smedley's house, and he's probably bedding down exactly where you're saying at.
He doesn't walk on the top of them much. He does, but he's usually on that three quarters.
Yep.
Like, and or where he comes up, like the spot.
Kind of down in the bottoms, for real, of those ridges, for real.
But these ridges are good ridges. Like, a lot of ridges, when they get to the top, it's real open, and these are pretty thick.
Thick.
Yeah, so they
thick spots.
They're not scared to come up these ridges. And there's what I would say. Four major spots they come up that left. If you're like, if you're looking at the barn, that left side, there's like four major spots that where the does come out, where we got our stand, and then where I used to sit like year one, and then where we got that camera.
Yeah, and after checking those trees up there by the barn the other day, because I'd never really paid attention to that.
Yeah.
I got checked trees and stuff, but never really up there. So I looked up at the trees and I got out, and I said, those are acorn trees. There's a persimmon tree over there, too.
Really?
There's persimmon trees all over that property. Yeah, just kind of in random spots.
It was a good year for persimmons on that property because we didn't notice
them
the past
2 years.
Really good
year this year.
And we would have noticed that. You know what I mean?
But I looked around up there towards the barn and that patch of woods right there, dude, and there's acorn trees everywhere right there. And I'm like, dude, he is literally going up and down these ridges probably, and he's bedding down up there. He can literally have access to the corn up front and the soybeans right there without ever being seen at all, unless he wants to be seen.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you walk down that road, you can't be seen almost the whole time.
No.
But no, for real the whole time from like where they live, like her parents and the grandma.
Yep.
Grandpa. But so, yeah, man, it's just, we're going to see, man. We're going to hunt it smarter this year. We're going to make sure we hunt the right winds.
With him... With a lot of those bucks and a lot of those does.
And he's older, mature. He's been through it. He's smart.
You got to play the winds right there on the, because it's sitting up on top of the hill.
Yeah, your thermals.
You're sitting on a point, and then everything's dropping down off into the bottoms, and that's where the town's at.
Yeah.
You're sitting on the edge of the point. So the wind's crazy up there, especially where these bucks are bedding down at, where we think they're bedding down at. You got to play the wind perfect. It's got to be blowing
across the field.
Yeah,
we got to think about thermals, too. Like, in the evenings, our thermals are going to be dropping down them ridges. But luckily, in most of our stands, our wind's going to be blowing the opposite way. Like, in that stand, it's going to be blowing, like, over the soybean field.
Well, I'm hoping he doesn't mind strong wind, because it's going to be 14 miles per hour on Saturday and Sunday, but it's going to be perfect wind for us to not get blown out at all.
Is that hard to wind, too, or is it going to be gone?
Oh, dude, absolutely. It'll be blowing straight towards her parents' and grandparents' house. That's what it's supposed to be doing.
Yep,
perfect.
So, man, I'm fired up. Like, Dylan's been hesitant. He's like, dude, I don't know if we should go in there. I'm like, we're fucking going in there Saturday, and you're going to kill this fucking buck.
I'm not, like I said, dude, I've been really weird about hunting this property this year. Just cause.
Yeah, but that buck's in there. He was in there yesterday, hitting that scrape for over 6 minutes.
He's bound to hit that scrape one time by Sunday. Again, at least one time in the afternoon.
And it's getting colder going into Sunday, too.
Yeah, so we got four afternoons till Sunday. There's four afternoons.
Yep.
So.
And hopefully it's... He
three afternoons, actually.
Like, let's just say hopefully he doesn't show up tomorrow. He doesn't show up... No, just tomorrow.
Just
tonight. It's about that time, though. What time is it?
Tomorrow. I haven't checked it.
See, it's getting dark now, so.
It's 8:30.
But, yeah, if he doesn't show up tomorrow, I think there's great odds he checks that scrape again going Saturday or Sunday. That and we're not going to hunt the mornings. Like, we were talking about, we're going to go in there, and we're just going to hunt the evenings until the rut starts getting in, then we'll start thinking about mornings.
Because he hit that at perfect time. Dude, it was like 2 hours before. 6:29 there, and I'm like, perfect. Oh, my God.
Where did
he
go? Could you tell from the photo where he went?
He went straight towards the other camera on the backside.
Did he? That's where he walked past the camera?
Yeah, that trail goes off. That trail, if you've ever followed it, it goes all the way into the other trail.
Dude, okay, you remember when we saw him? Or not saw him, but that first encounter we had with him?
Yeah.
That's where he came up, where I used to hunt. Remember him walking up? And then he went to the scrape and then came back.
Yeah.
So I bet that's exactly what he did.
So I'm thinking, I'm like, ooh, he was here on the scrape for 6 minutes. If he's on this property...
I bet it just takes him a long time to walk that ridge.
If he's on this property... I'm not going to, if he goes to the right, we're obviously not going to see him. But if he goes to the left, we're bound. There's a 70% chance we're going to catch him on camera. We didn't catch him on any of the other cameras. I'm thinking he dipped right over to the right side of that ridge.
You still got that camera on that ridge behind the soybeans? Where it dips down, where, that newest,
yeah, where I was with that's you? What I'm saying.
You didn't get him on that?
Nope.
Really?
So I'm saying he probably... He went to, remember where you said you seen that doe at and stuff? He probably walked to that
point. Went in between them.
And then walked right, went down, straight back down, and up towards Schmedley and then his property.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guarantee it. Because there's corn over there, dude. He's got a good section right there. If he's, you know what I'm saying?
And we haven't had him. When was the last picture we got of him?
And I didn't
before
have him,
that.
Yeah, and I didn't have him in the beans
for either. Like a month, right?
Yeah, and I didn't have him in the beans either.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to dip off to the right side of that ridge. Had to. Like, there's, you know... There's a
he
30...
doesn't really have a reason to grow them beans. They're drying up. Like, he doesn't care about them beans.
I'll give him a 30% chance that he slipped past my cameras. But with knowing how these deer have been moving, guarantee he went straight back up towards Smedley and that other dude's property. There's corn on the top back there. He's got acorns over there.
That's just where he's bedding. He's bedding close, so he hit that camera right out of his bed.
Exactly.
And this is, I heard this on a podcast. I want to say it was Don Higgins talking about it. He was saying, like, right when a buck gets out of his bed, he's going to hit that scrape. If there's a scrape close by, they're going to go right to that scrape and check it. Yeah. Right before they go to their bed in the morning, they're going to check that scrape a lot of time too. So, but you got to think in the evenings, if he's doing what you're saying, he would check that scrape as he leaves in the evening, circles around, goes to those other ag fields, and then in the morning, he doesn't even come that way. He circles back a different way.
I got a picture of him. He's walking straight down that path. I can see him at the beginning of the point furthest out, like 15 yards out when he's coming down the main path right there. So he's coming straight, you know. Right along that ridge, that back trail that goes through there.
That, I think one of the most important things for somebody getting after deer is not worrying about trail camera data this year as much. Like, definitely worry about it. Do worry about it, but remember what they were doing last year. Because that's exactly what he was doing last year. But we didn't have any cameras over there.
Dude, that's another thing that I'll go ahead and tell people right now. Mark exactly when you go to set your cameras up for the rut and you move them around a little bit, that's when you're getting – they're going to be on different patterns.
Yeah.
So you're going to see them on different areas of the property at different times of the year. Mark where you had those trail cameras at during the rut and where all the action was at.
Yep.
You need to take in that data for next year.
And then
especially
remember when
on
we saw
property.
Him. Like, we saw, or when we heard that first encounter with him, that was the end of October.
Yeah.
So he was moving through there. I think it's just the wind. I think that he's doing different things with the wind. I think he's always coming down that ridge for the most part that he was on when we got pictures of. I mean, sometimes he'll switch. For the winds, especially like that wind, we need to look into the data from like past pictures, but I bet he's going through there on that wind. And so think about that. Think about what they were doing when you were getting pictures of them hitting them scrapes on your property.
You're going to have main trails on your property where they kind of move through, especially does. You'll have does hit, you know, same trails all year long. It don't matter
what
time
of year it is.
The good
thing about that property on them ridge sides, it's thick as fuck. Yeah. So they basically have to walk
so
down.
So in that one trail right there where we caught them hitting that scrape at, that's a main trail on that ridge right there.
Huge
that
main
most
trail.
Most of them all. If they're
that's
coming
one of the
through
best
there,
trails on the whole property.
They got to come through right there.
Yep. Because they're hidden. Because it's what? The 3/4? No, it's probably about halfway.
Because that's where Jim and then cut them trees at up kind of towards the top a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's all, you know... bushed off and stuff now, brushed up and shit now.
Yep.
So they come straight there, and it, you know, it's perfect.
And for that snap, we're going to hunt Saturday. Perfect access. It's that road he cut last year.
Dude.
We trimmed some trees so
the
we can walk in there.
The thing is, the does have been tearing that trail up.
Really?
Dude. Oh, yeah, dude. It looked like they've been beating that thing down, dude. They've been coming up all through there. They come straight up that
path. Dude, we made a perfect path for them.
Yeah, I got multiple pictures of them coming straight past our tree stand, basically.
Hell yeah, dude. So, I really think, man, we got... You never know. It's deer hunting, but I'm pretty confident we're going to... We might get it done this weekend, dude. Can you imagine tagging out opening weekend?
That would be, you know, it'd be great.
So, I'm looking forward to it. Like I was saying a little bit earlier, we focused on adding a bunch of scrapes earlier this year because the years previous, we didn't add any scrapes until the rut started, and it worked. Worked tremendously to add them scrapes there.
I think it worked, but honestly, I think...
Now they know where they're at already,
though. I think next year, though, save a few spots to add one, like, first week of October or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But we got them vines. That was our first year trying the vine. They've been working tremendous.
Because we set up scrapes this year, basically, in all the same spots. It's like, and we added a few different spots.
But like I think every tree stand, we can kill a buck on a scrape.
I think going into next year, have a few main ones like we always do, but save a few of those sweet spots to go out there and, you know.
Or maybe don't put scent on them.
Yeah, don't put scent on them.
Yeah.
Save a few of them sweet spots for that.
Yeah,
because when you put that scent, dude, I put that scent on there. What was it, Sunday?
Did you put that scent out when you went?
Yeah, that's when I. Yeah, really? That's when I freshened it up. I pulled that one branch down because it was old and it was hanging wrapped around all around that vine.
Think about you adding some cooks on it.
Yeah.
Then he came in right after, bro. Right,
dude, he was licking that vine, bro,
for 6 minutes.
Yeah, sitting there licking on it.
He's got to be he's one of the dominant bucks for sure. He's six years old, five and a half.
And he's a brute, dude. He's, you know.
Giant. Perfect. He's got a perfect fighting rack.
Yeah.
He's not like, his G's aren't like super, super tall. But this year he gained some mass, drop time dropped a little bit. So I'm putting him at probably 145. That's what my guess is. With how big his body is, like we might get shocked when we walk up on him dead.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those ones that are hard to judge from a picture.
Because, like, you don't think he's that big, and then he stands next to one of our bigger bucks, like, pretty boy, and you're like, damn, he's a fucking stud for him. Because
we've gotten good pictures of him, great pictures in velvet of him.
Mm-hmm.
Great pictures, up-close pictures of him, you can judge him perfectly there. But out of velvet, we've gotten decent pictures, but none, like, of the mass of the rat, you know?
Yeah, so we got good ones yesterday. That was pretty good picks.
He's a buck that's kind of hard to judge. Even if that one up close I sent you the other night where he's looking straight at it, if you really look at that, I mean, it kind of surprised me a little bit, for real.
And he grows weird. He grows, like, towards the heavens.
It's that's what I was thinking about.
And his tines grow back.
Look at it, because you don't even, at first, you really don't even notice this up here until you, like, look in.
Zoom on.
See? You don't even notice the, Yeah.
He's going straight up, and his tines grow back.
Yeah.
Dude, his main beams are long. Because they grow like that, he's got long-ass main beams.
Oh, fuck, I can't zoom out. Zoom out. You really don't even, like, notice. Yeah. It kind of blends in, too, with the back. You don't even really
notice. And then I think about my buck I shot last year. I scored him at, like, 125. He's way bigger than that buck. He's got to have 20 more inches in.
Dude, every time I look at that buck he killed last year, he looks just way bigger than what I thought he was when you, like, sent that picture to me. Because I'd never seen him up close that day. Yeah. I think I was out hunting that morning. I can't remember.
Yeah, everybody thought that buck. Like, everybody's like, oh, he scored better. I was like, dude, he's a 4 point on one side with a split brow.
He looks big, though, dude. He's got a nice buck.
He's got a good frame. He's 16 and a half inches wide. And he's just got pretty good mass. Mm-hmm. But, man, I'm excited.
I'm pumped, too.
Tomorrow, gonna have to get the clothes ready. I'm gonna do another wash, even though I haven't used them since I washed them. I'm gonna wash them again.
I need to wash them for you.
Oh yeah, you probably should. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, bring them over. I'll wash them for you. I'm big on the.
So you're using what this year?
Oh,
scent wise.
Just and through when it comes to laundry detergent and the spray stuff, man, it really don't matter. But I went with Phase because I decided to use their field foam and stuff because we hunt early season in Kentucky.
It's so hot.
It's hot. That stuff helps out. I think, you know.
I think it worked.
We're not for sure, not 100%, but we definitely had deer walker put on us a few times, and I never got blown out, and we were sweating a ton. But I tried that field foam out. But really, honestly, you already know really the only true cover scent I believe in.
Well, you can tell them.
Man.
Dylan's got a little secret.
It's coon urine, dude.
Coon urine.
You want to know why?
It's coons everywhere in Southern Indiana.
Every trail cam picture you have this year, not every single one, but in one day where you're getting pictures and stuff, you're gonna see raccoons around. They're gonna be going up trees and stuff.
Yep.
Spray that stuff on the bottom. Especially my dad,
dude, that property there's like 20 coons in one picture.
My dad has been using that
forever
since I was young, dude. Coon urine, dude. He'll spray it on the bottom of the boots right when he walks in.
Yeah.
Sprays it around the base of his tree.
Coons go up trees too.
And sprays it at the top of his tree.
Yeah. And it's definitely got a stench. And coons just got a stench. It's just the type of animal they are.
I don't care what anybody says. I got blown out one time last year.
Yep.
Sodders was with me.
Yeah,
I will say that, and he didn't put the coon urine on the bottom of his boots like I told him to before we went out. That was the only time we did get blown out last year.
That was at Mom and Dad's, though. And them deer smart.
Oh, no, we got blown out. I was saying that little buck blew us out that one night. But he got right downwind of us, though.
He wasn't blowing at us. He was blowing at the buck.
You think so?
Oh, 100%.
Because I thought when he got to the left side of us and got downwind of us.
He might have got a whiff of us, but I thought he did. He probably did, because we walked right down the path and he walked right next to that path. Because
that was perfect for our wind, dude. It blew straight into his, right into his face.
But he didn't know what was going on. Two-year-old buck, he was dumb as shit. Dude, we could have smoked him. Like, I'm going to probably buy a new decoy this year, because I just love decoy hunting.
Yeah.
And if we haven't tagged out in the rut, I'm definitely breaking her out a couple times.
But either way, back to the sense.
Yeah.
I bought, honestly, it sounds goofy. Bought the phase lotion too, dude. Dry skin, dude.
Okay.
Watch those guys, and they say people get flaky skin that drops off deer smell. You're not going to beat a deer's nose.
No.
And I'm always down to try anything, but I tell you what, the only thing that I really would use.
Dylan's trisexual. He'll try anything.
Whatever, yeah. Get the fuck out of here. The only thing I'd say probably really does help out is a good cover scent, like coon urine. I wouldn't use fox urine.
I got an Ozonix. I need to get a new battery for it.
Yeah. That's good. I heard those Ozonix are good, but something,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like all the phase, or the, what is their channel called? Deer Society.
The Deer Society, yeah.
Yeah, I love all their videos, man. The way they do it, it's awesome. And
the way
it works for them, and they're killing giants. Yeah,
and you know, I love the way they do it for real. Definitely a modern type of hunting that they've perfected.
Yeah, that's kind of how we do our videos.
Dude, I like stuff like that for real. Like, I don't like a lot of the modern hunting, like, stuff they're doing these days, but what they're doing, they take property from scratch and completely build it up perfectly, dude.
And they show the average guys just killing big bucks all the time, too.
I love it.
So, yeah, man, what's your expectations going on the season? If you had to pick, who do you think you're actually going to shoot?
Drop Tyner Curley.
Think so?
I think Pretty Boy's going to show up probably last week of October.
Yeah, so we're going to go on the weekend. Let's kind of talk about that. Me and you are both hunting. We're both going to be filming each other. Like, unless we're hunting alone, we're going to be filming each other. If we both can hunt, we're just going to film this year, get good footage. You got a new GoPro. Badass GoPro.
That'll add to it.
That's going to change our videos.
Yeah. Big time. We needed one of those just to get a different view of us in the tree. We're always sitting there trying to turn the camcorder around, which you still do that, but it's nice to have that.
And, man, I'm hoping you tag out this weekend, then I have free range on the farm. That would be lit.
That'd be dope.
I think we honestly do have great odds of doing it.
I want my perfect year for us. Tag out early at the farm, both of us.
Wait for the rut for me.
Rut, Kentucky.
Oh, Rut, Kentucky.
I'm saying both of us tag out early in Rut,
both
Kentucky.
Of us tag out in Indiana in October.
And I'm saying, we're going to go ahead and say it, my perfect season, tag out this weekend, go to Kentucky in a couple weeks, tag out, and then
Ohio or
Illinois, just wing it. Because I got the second week of November off completely. Completely off. So, that's prime time, dude. That's when if you're going to take a hunt, you're going to go out of town, you're going to pick. Go from the last week of October, and if you're a bow hunter, last week of October, the second week of November, because most states don't bring gun in until the second week of November,
Third week, usually.
I thought ours was that second, going into the second.
Or third week, we get 2 weeks in November.
Oh, it is. It's the third. It's the end of that second week. That's what I meant.
If I was going to, for me personally, if like somebody had, let's say, 7 days to take off, that's 5 work days. I would go probably, is October go 31st, right? Halloween's the 31st.
The 5th, because me, you, and Tyler discussed it.
Yeah. But it depends on your property. But if there's 2 weeks that if you want your best odds, you're going out of state, you're hunting your property, you don't hunt much, you don't know what's going on as much.
It's the 3rd. I'll be off the 3rd through the 14th.
So I'll be off the 3rd through the 14th with Dylan because I'm just going to take off whenever. But that's a great time to do is, I mean, you can't go wrong.
Like, you can't. The 3rd through the 14th?
Dude, that's November money, to the 14th. Bro.
That's when I killed my buck that year. Yeah. The 3rd.
You can't go wrong with that. And then I also think like the 25th through like the whatever that is, the 1st or 2nd. You can't go wrong with that too.
Of October?
It just depends on your property. If you can't go wrong with that. That second week, like the beginning of November going into the end of middle of November, you can't beat it.
I didn't plan this out for the farm. Yeah. I'm planning this out for us being out of state. If you're going to hunt public land, I think personally, we talked about it too that one time.
That's prime time.
First week, second week of November.
Prime time.
To me, if you're hunting private, especially the property that we're hunting on the farm, prime time for me would be the last week of October going into the first week of November.
Like, there's something I've seen so many giant bucks. I've rattled in so many bucks, like the 6th and the 8th. Something about those 2 days, yeah, 6th and 8th and even 6th through the 10th. That's just, like, I think is prime time to rattle. Like, bucks are fired up. There's some does getting hot. Dude, I want to be on public like,
so bunch
of,
bad.
A bunch of does are hot at that point. You got to think.
That'd be nice.
A does estrus cycle and all the does in an area, it's a bell curve. So it starts off, like, there's already does getting hot right now. I guarantee that. I would bet money in Indiana, there's does getting hot already. Oh, yeah. But you got to think, the majority of your does, like, the high percentage of does are getting that first bit of estrus coming in hot, like middle of November. That's when most of them are. Like, dude, does get bred in December. Like, it's crazy. Like, my mom and dad's property, that property is the biggest bucks I've ever seen on there. Multiple different years was December in muzzleloader season. It's just because we always have fawns, and then fawns, if they get to a certain weight, like
you get that late run too, that late run around too, dude, during December where you catch them out again.
And if you have good food, like I don't have all the fall food plots that I do on my family property that I did the years previous. But,
yeah.
So that helps us out as well, but it just something about it, man. You got to think about your property. Like one thing from 2021 to going into this year, so we didn't have many does last year. We just didn't.
No.
We did not.
I think the feeding helped out with the does.
Oh, yeah. Now we got
big time.
I'd say we have at least 8 does.
Oh, 8 does on the regular. I got a trail cam picture the other night.
And last year, I feel like 2 or 3, maybe 4.
Yeah. Until about the rut or late season is when we seen a bunch of does.
Yeah. Like, it just didn't have any does. So this year, we got a bunch of does. Like, we fed from, like, winter until we could stop feeding in Indiana is when we stopped.
We didn't feed till after turkey season.
Now we use Buff Daddy.
That's the thing, remember? That's where we didn't mess up, but I would have liked to have been feeding straight right after the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't.
But we started using Buff Daddy. It's like one of our partnerships. And, dude, the first buck we got on picture was Pretty Boy. He's a 3-year-old fucking giant.
I don't even know how to explain. I try to tell people anytime we're talking about deer feed and stuff, I try to explain to them Buff Daddy and why they should buy it and this and that. But some people it just blows straight over them. They're like, oh, I can go down and get
corn.
I'm not going to start naming off, you know, certain deer feed and stuff. And I'm like, look into it.
Yeah.
Look at the ingredients. Look into the background. It's made in Kentucky, you know. I work with a lot of, and most of the time I tell people at work and stuff, hey, you should try this out and stuff. It's made in Kentucky, you know.
Small company, small batch.
Company, and the ingredients they're putting in their stuff.
It was the first nutritional deer feed ever.
Yeah.
Maybe not ever, but like it's definitely one of the first. And if you look in the ingredients, the dude's got like, the guy that started it, he's like not the name of it, or he is the name of it, but the other guy does all the social media and stuff, Brian, but. It's awesome. We put that out. We put a bunch of it out. We did a video on it.
The perfect mix, too. For something that you want to mix with corn, it's absolutely perfect.
Small bags, too. It's not a 50-pound bag.
And if you're doing feed, you don't need to be putting freaking bags of 50-pound bags of deer feed out there. Buy small bags of stuff like that.
5-10-pound bags is what they have.
If I was to tell you what to buy, you'd be getting Buff Daddy. 100%. That's personally what I would buy to mix with corn. The best stuff you can possibly find to mix with
corn. The deer love it, and there's nothing better for a deer out there.
The consistency of the stuff inside the bag to mix with the corn is perfect.
There's nothing in there that a deer doesn't naturally need. And they're not like, they're not cutting corners. They're putting like the shit that you need in there. They're putting real proteins. They're not putting no insects. A lot of these big name brands are putting like insect protein, grinded up insects and shit in it.
Yep.
So they're not doing that. And enough on shit, like talking about Buff Daddy, but it just works, man. We put it out. We had the studs hitting it within two hours. One more
good thing I'm going to say about Buff Daddy before we end this. The minerals that come out of it when it rains and everything else soak down into the ground and also. That shit. Yeah. Basically, you're getting a mineral lick also with your feed.
Yep, and it works. It's perfect. It's super affordable, I think.
Dude, for the price compared to other stuff, yeah. Good Lord, it's ideal, dude, for everybody.
Like one 5-pound bag of it, because we got the 10-pound bags. Like everything we got was 10-pound bags, but you can get 5-pound bags as well, and I think that goes up to like 2 bags a corner, maybe 4.
I want to say he said 4 is what you can do, up to 4, 200 pounds, but I think.
All right, so accidentally cut off, a little technical difficulties, but Buff Daddy is the jam. It's our first year using it. We've talked to the owners of it. We know what's in it, and it's definitely worth the buy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I will definitely – that'll be something we definitely continue to use for sure.
We're going
to
push it hard next year, like right when we can start putting feed back out, get them deer after that hard rut.
We kind of started too late in the season with it for real, and but I think we start – late in the season next year.
When January going, or January 8th or whatever it is. Yeah,
when they're going into looking for that late hopefully food get
some
source. Drop
some sheds for the first time. Like, we've scoured that land.
But we've never went over in them ridges, though. Because, dude, when it's late January, not late January.
We were like March.
March. Even in March, dude, it's cold out still.
Big ridges, man. Know.
It's just big ridges, too, all around.
Big ridges. But, yeah, man, check them out. We love it. It works. Unfortunately, we can't be using it right now, so we've got a few months until we can.
Yeah.
But one other thing we want to talk about is Cook's Fatal. I've been using it for many years, and it plain works. It's not like one thing we do is we're not going to push something that we don't like, you know?
Exactly. Anything that I'm sitting here saying to use, I'm using. And there's really only two of them that, we're really big on. You know, we got our other stuff that we all use and stuff, but the main thing that we all really use.
Partnered up with them.
Is, you know, Cook's Fatal and then Buff Daddy. But talking about Cook's Fatal, when it comes to, you know, deer urine and stuff like that, you definitely want to get something that hasn't been sitting on shelves for 6 to 8 months. And
who knows? Walmart? That's the one thing hunting they are always selling is some deer piss.
And that's what me and Gavin were talking about earlier, is that you shouldn't be seeing deer urine on the shelves, you know, in April.
Yeah.
It's been sitting there for 6 to 8 months. It's
it could be a year or two. Who knows?
If you're not going to listen to us and go with Cook's Fatal, which you should, 100%. Find something family-owned, you know, locally ran that you can order directly from them and know that you're getting fresh stuff. But refrigerated,
stays fresh.
Exactly.
I feel like if you're going into a scent, if you're not going to use Cook's, you should, 100%. I've been using it for years, and I've got hundreds upon hundreds of pictures of bucks, fawns, young bucks, big bucks, old bucks, hitting this. It just works.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's just, I've never used anything better, because I've been doing scrapes for well over a decade, and used to use that, what was it? Like the Walmart, you go buy
the Code Blue, dude, back in, no,
that was your rutting scent. That was your rutting scent. The Hunter Specialty scrape. The
drip.
The Golden Scraper, whatever it was called. Yeah, I had that camo dripper. Used to use that. Never put many trail cameras on it. I put some on it, and you just didn't get a whole lot of pictures. One, I'm just not a big believer in the dripper anymore. That was just, like, back in the day before people got, like, into like mock scrapes and stuff, because years ago like people knew about them, but it just never wasn't really
a big thing.
Yeah, so I've been doing like pretty religiously on mock scrapes 3 or 4 years, and dude, just the amount of pictures, the amount of like opportunities we had to kill a buck on those scrapes in daylight is tremendous, especially last year. God, we had over 15 chances to shoot a shooter buck on them,
and I would say I can't tell you how many countless friends that we know and people at work that I know that I've said, hey, they ask me, they come to me because they know what we do and stuff, and they're like, hey, you know, what should I use for mock scrape? Cook's Fatal, dude. That's the only thing I'm going to recommend to you. I'm not going to recommend you anything else.
It's because we believe in it. We will never be partnered up with something just to be partnered up with them.
Nobody has ever came back to me and been like, man, I ain't getting anything on that. Not one person, dude. I'm talking countless people. Not one person.
Like, Showers, our good buddy, he put it out, And then he said they hadn't had a shooter buck all year. He put it out last year, put that out, and had a freak buck walk up. This year, he added, stud. He put it back out and has a really cool, funky buck again this year.
It definitely works. If you get on our Instagram, Facebook, any social medias, you can get on there and you will tell instantly this stuff definitely works. So.
And drop time just hit it. You put it out Sunday, and he hit it yesterday.
Instantly, yeah.
So and a couple days later, he was hitting it for over 6 minutes. He was hitting this vine we added. Like, we just added those vines, and I'm a big believer in that. We might be doing not religiously, because I like having different ones, but vines, they just work. I added some on my
parents. Dude, I honestly think it depends on where you're setting them up at, too. I think on those small little runs, like we got these up, vines are perfect for them to walk up to. It doesn't block bunch. And then in just those random spots.
And it sticks out, though. It's still like an eyesore, kind
of. Because where we got these vines at, they're literally right down the middle of these paths. So they're walking through, and it's right there.
We put them right about their head level, too. Like, some of them, they might have to look up a little bit, but they, like, we put them for a human, like, what, stomach to chest level. Just so a deer, a smaller deer, a younger buck can walk up to it without stretching, jumping up. They will. I got videos of them hitting Cook's Fatal on, like, an actual scrape where I spray it on there. And they'll get on their high lanes, but
honestly, with a vine, it probably wouldn't really matter if the thing was dragging the ground for real. Honestly, they would probably still come up and mess with it for real.
And one thing I've noticed that works well is if you can find a vine that's got like a curve in it, seems like they hit those good. Like the one that we got at the end of the ridge.
Talking about Cook's Fatal, also with those vines, their scent stick, their preorbital. Yeah. With that scent stick, it is absolute money for them vines because that in that scent stick, it's kind of waxy, so it builds up on them vines, and
it's waterproof.
It's not
waterproof, but it's water resistant.
That's what I was about to go to, is that we've had that out there for about a month now, and we've had, you know, horrible weather, rain off and on all the time. Went out there before. I put a little more on it the other day and freshened it up before this weekend opener. Dude, it was still on there, coated on there. I still freshened it up, but it was still on there.
Yeah, that's the good thing about these scrapes, too. You don't have to add much Cook's Fatal. You basically just have to get them started or, like, in the rut. We'll switch scents to, like, a rut and buck scent or some doe and estrus, and you'll spray those in the bottom or spray
during the rut, it's completely game over. You put it out one day, and I guarantee by the end of the night, by 3 a.m., you got a buck hitting that.
And we've had that happen countless times. Like, we got the videos, we got the pictures to prove it. It's not just something we're bullshitting about.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, on the farm, the biggest buck we've ever had on there was that evening when I left the stand. I sprayed that on there, and the biggest buck we've ever had.
Put a trail camera up. It was the first season we hunted the farm. We were talking about this earlier on the podcast.
Yeah.
He put that out, put the trail cam back on that back ridge, and we had, within a week, we had 3 or 4 different bucks hitting it.
Yeah. It was crazy.
All throughout the night, yeah.
Like, it works, man. Like, we use the dominant buck a lot, the dominant buck spray. Buy one of the spray cylinders because it saves your scent. It just coats on there better, I personally
think. I 100% believe that when it comes to scents, you want to find something that, like I said, hasn't been sitting on the shelves, isn't old and stuff. If I'm gonna recommend it, it's going to be Cook's, but if you don't want to go with that, like I said...
There's a bunch of good ones
out there. Yeah, there's a bunch of other good ones, but find something that isn't a big, you know... corporation producing out hundreds, thousands and thousands of bottles a day.
Yeah, if they're a company and they're not like telling you to refrigerate your like liquid peas and stuff, like your scents, you probably shouldn't go with that company. Yeah. Go with one that refrigerates it because it's fresh. Get the ones that are making it fresh. This one's CWD free. You don't got to worry about none of that.
And especially your stuff for during the rut, your doe and heat. You do not want to be buying the stuff, especially that's been sitting on the shelves for a long time. You want to buy the stuff.
In room temperature.
Yeah, because Cook's Fatal, when you go buying their dough and heat stuff, you're buying it as soon as their does on their farms go into heat. Yep. They're shipping it out then.
Yep.
So you're getting it as fresh as it possibly can be.
Yep, and we got countless, countless pictures, countless videos, multiple different properties, like... We got people that hit us up on social media like, hey, what should I get? They get it. It works for them. Like you were saying earlier, we've never had somebody like come back disappointed. Not once.
Nope. So it's one of those products that, you know, I'm not going to tell somebody to get it and then come back to me and me look like an idiot. It's just not happening. I'm not one of those people.
Yep. That's why
I hate being that person that's like, yeah, try this out. And they're like, dude, that didn't work at all. Whatever you told me to get was absolutely horrible. No, not this. If I tell you to get it, I'm using it. That's what I'm using every time. Nothing else.
100%. But, man, yeah, I think we covered quite a bit on this one.
Definitely.
So, yeah. we're looking forward to it. Indiana season. We'll be here in 2 days.
And good luck to everybody this weekend. I'm sure there's a lot of states that open up usually the first week of October.
Yeah. The whole country's open up tomorrow, basically. Yeah,
good luck to everybody across the country and overseas and wherever else that's getting out there and hunting this weekend.
Yep, good luck. And always feel free, man. I love it. I'm the one that's, like, a bunch of us are on the page, but if you're messaging, it's 90% of the time you're talking to me, Gavin. So, message us your bucks, man. I don't care if it's a small buck, a big buck, a 200-inch buck, your first buck, your 100th buck. Send us pictures. I love them all. I just love seeing what you guys are killing.
Definitely. Throughout the season, yeah. I love seeing what people are, you know, especially early season. Because that's when I'm like, yeah,
Get you jacked up.
See what everybody's getting before the rut goes in, too. Just, you know, all types of bucks. It don't matter, you know, size or what it is. Send them in.
Like, everybody's got different plans, man. That's one thing about us. We don't care what you're shooting. If it makes you happy, we are fucking tickled to death, dude.
Just knowing that people are continuing to hunt and
keeping the tradition going, baby. Keeping
it going. That's all that matters to me.
Especially the kids, man. If you some younger kids are out there, you got kids, send us the pictures. We love that more than anything, seeing the kids in the outdoors. But, yeah, man, this is year one.
Yep.
A full year of podcast. This is the first day last year that we recorded one, and we're recording, I don't remember what it is, 55, but 49 on the whitetail side. So
I think all I can say is good luck and keep her steady and shoot straight.
Yep, and get out there, man, and because you can't kill them on the couch. It's just big facts. Hunt smart, but we appreciate everybody listening. If you guys could do us a favor, it helps us out a bunch, helps our podcast get out there more. If you go on Apple Podcasts or wherever you can write a review and leave us a 5-star review, a written review, even better. And if you write that and let me know, message me on social media or something, let me know that you did that, and I'll check it out, see if you did, and I'll send you something. Send you a decal or send you a sticker, send you something. So we truly appreciate all the fans and the people like watching us, the people that support us, and we couldn't do it without you guys. We'd probably still do it, but it makes us feel a lot better that we know people appreciate it. Yeah,
I like being able to put our stuff out there and share what we're doing and maybe learn from some other people. And this is exactly what helps us out right here doing this. So
hopefully us talking about this, maybe you have a property that's similar and you've been thinking about things and we're able to teach you something on this one. But big season coming, man. The rest of the crew is starting to hunt on Saturday. Some of them are getting out Sunday. Basically, the whole country's opening up, so a lot of big bucks are going to start dying. A lot have already died. A ton of big bucks have already died, but me, Dylan, Corey, Michael, Angelo, and Tyler, man, our seasons open up in our home state, so we're going to get after it, and appreciate you guys listening. Till next time.
Good luck. Till next time.